I'm Robin, I'm the lead pastor, and welcome to all the moms. This is your special day, your day to be honored. We appreciate you. I don't know if you know moms or not, but when Jesus wanted to give an example of God's heart, when he wanted to give an example of how desperate God is to protect us, he chose a mother. He pointed to a mother. And today the big idea is you can turn to God for protection. You can just write that in your notes, grab those. You can turn to God for protection. As Jesus was once coming into Jerusalem, the big city where he lived in Israel, let me read you what he said as he tries to point out, if you want to know what protection looks like, how God wants to protect us, he points to a mother. And let's read it together. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you slay the prophets and stone those who sent you. How often I have wanted to gather your children as a mother bird collects her young under her wings, and you refused me. Your temple will be abandoned, and I say to you, shall not see me again till the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Now remember, in Israel, Jerusalem is the big, big city, and it's like the center of the whole Jewish universe. It still is. Jerusalem's like the big, big deal. And the Jewish church, and all that's like the most special place. And it was all designed, this whole city was designed by the Jewish people to bring glory to God. The buildings and the architecture and everything was all built so when visitors went there, they would look and go, oh, there has to be a God, and he must care about me. And all the people, they lived in community. This was their city. And Jesus is approaching. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And the idea is Jesus looks at it and he says, you know, the whole city was designed to point to God. But what had happened, the Jewish leaders, they had got off track. And at one point, the whole idea was to bring glory to God. And how they got off track is they started to want to bring glory instead to the church. It was just a subtle shift that happened. But pretty soon, it wasn't all about focusing on God in Jerusalem. It was all about focusing on the church. And slow but sure, it started to move people further and further away. And people got further and farther away from God, which will always happen if you lose your focus. You get further away. And Jesus sees, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He's almost like he's saying to Jerusalem, you're like a bunch of children that are stubborn and you won't listen. And trying to be your God is a lot like trying to be a mother. And he says this in here. He says, like a mom that wants to gather her children under her wings. And don't moms know a lot about how to deal with stubborn children that won't listen? Now, you might be a young woman here today. Maybe you're not a mom yet, but the moms are saying, your day will come. And you will realize what it's like to deal with children. They get stubborn and they won't listen. And what Jesus is saying, and even though the children get stubborn, and even though your children don't listen, the heart of a mom always wants to protect them. The mom always wants to gather them back underneath her wing. And God's just like that too. And here's the thing. We've all had moms. Most of us have had moms, and we know what it was to not listen to our moms. And Jesus is saying, God's like that. He knows a lot of people are stubborn and they don't want to listen to him. And yet he's always the type of person that's saying, come back. I want to protect you. He points to a mom. Now, I know if you're a mom here today, you know, your goal is to always have this unconditional love and be patient, understanding, and all those things. If you think about a mom, it's the hardest job because they have to be like a tutor and a nursery care worker, and they have to be like, you know, like a chef and perfect cook and Victoria's Secret model. And I mean, they've got to be all these things wrapped into one. They got to know all sorts of ways of dealing with children and be a child psychologist. And, you know, they have to, I mean, there's so many different things wrapped in there in one. And all moms want to be, you know, long-suffering, and they want to be patient, and they want to do all those things, and they want to have unconditional love. And the truth is that nobody can do that. If you're a mom here, you're probably saying, there's times I don't want those kids under my wings. There's times I don't want those kids under my roof. Get them out of here. And yet, when Jesus decides to try to communicate God's heart to us, when we don't listen, when we get stubborn, he still chooses a mom. He still picks a mom and says, "If you want the best I could show you is the heart of a mom, if you want to see God's heart, always wanting to protect you. I wanted to read you something as kind of an example. This is one mom. She's talking about what happened with her child and what it was like for her. Listen to this. On a very hectic day when my husband and I were busy going over 100 different directions, our 4.5-year-old son, Justin Carl, had to be reprimanded for getting into mischief. After several attempts, my husband, George, finally told him to stand in the corner. Carl was very quiet. He wasn't happy about it. Finally, after a few moments, he said, "I'm going to run away from home." My first reaction was surprise, being written by a mother, and his words angered me. "You are," I blurted. But as I turned to look at him, he looked like an angel, so small, so innocent, with his face so sad. As my heart felt his pain, I remembered a moment in my own childhood when I spoke those words and how unloved and lonely I felt. He was saying so much more than just his words. He was crying out from within, "Don't you dare ignore me. Please notice me. I'm important too. Please make me feel wanted, unconditionally loved, and needed." "Okay, Justin, you can run away from home if you want to," I tenderly whispered in his ear as I started packing his clothes. "We'll need your PJs and your coat and..." "Mama," he said, "what are you doing?" "We'll also need my coat and nightgown." I packed these items into a bag and placed them in front of the door. "Okay, Justin, are you sure you want to run away from home now?" "Yeah, but where are you going?" "Well, if you're going to want to run away from home, then Mama's going to run with you, because I would never want you to be alone. I love you too much, Justin Carl." He held out for a while, and we talked, and then he asked me, "Mama, why do you want to come with me?" I looked into his eyes and I said, "Well, because I love you, Justin Carl. My life would never be the same if you weren't here. So I want to make sure you'll be safe. If you go, I go with you." "Can Daddy come?" No. "Daddy has to stay home with your brothers, and he has to go to work and make money." "Well, can Freddie, my hamster, come?" No. Freddie has to stay here too." He thought for a while and he said, "Mama, can we just stay home?" "Well, yes, Justin, we can stay home." "Mama?" "Yes, Justin. I love you." "I love you too, honey. How about we make some popcorn?" And that's what Jesus is trying to get across. He's saying, you know, the heart of a mom. You don't listen. And we fight our moms, and we fight God the same way. I mean, we fight him. We fight what he wants to do in our lives. We don't want to listen. And there he is still saying, "Come back. Come underneath my wing. I still want to protect you." And Jesus points to that. And a couple things I wanted to say about that is that when you come underneath his wing, this series we have, it's called Double Dog Dare, and we're fitting Mother's Day into it. There's a couple things there that you have to dare yourself. The first one is when he invites you to come under his wing, you might be a Christ follower today, and God may be asking you to do something, and you're not doing it. Been there lots of times. Jesus is asking you to do something, and you're not doing it. Or he's asking you to not do something, and you're not stopping. And here's my dare today. Well, what if you tried it his way? What if you were willing to come underneath his wing and his protection, and you were willing to try this, no matter what it is? It could be a big, big, big thing, too. What if you know you're a Christ follower now? I'm speaking to those people. You know what it is. Jesus is saying, "I want you to do this." You're not doing it. Or he says, "Don't do this anymore," and you won't stop. What if you were to just give God a chance and do it his way? Or you might be here today and you're like, "I don't believe any of this stuff. I mean, whether Jesus lived or not is not the point. I mean, maybe he did, but I don't believe he can do anything in my life. I don't believe any of this. None of this makes sense to me. I don't believe any of it." And here's my challenge to you. You're not following Jesus. No, here's my challenge to you, the double dog dare challenge. What if you just gave God a chance? That's all. Let me tell you how I did it. This is my testimony. I had just turned 20 years old, and I wasn't following Jesus at all. I didn't have God in my life, and I was in a church kind of like this. I got almost tricked coming to church. Someone invited me to something, and I found out, oh, this is a church. And someone was talking and saying that Jesus cared about me and loved me, and I felt something in my heart that wanted to do it. But, you know, sometimes you just think, life's not that bad. I'm turning to God. Come on. But there was just something there. And I wanted to give God a chance, but I didn't want to get disappointed. So here's what I did, and I'm not real proud of it. This is my first prayer. This is the first thing I said to God, is I said, okay, God, all right, Jesus. I'm gonna ask you into my life, and I'm gonna give you 2 weeks. I'll give you 2 weeks to prove that this whole thing is real, God. You got 2 weeks. And I'm not gonna play around, I'm not gonna be phony, I'm not gonna pretend. You have 2 weeks, Lord, to show me that this thing is real. If it's not, I'm moving on. If it is, well, that was over 30 years ago. And he's constantly and continually proved to me this whole thing is real. So the challenge today, if you're following Jesus, what if whatever he's saying, what if you were to do it? If you're not, what if you were to give God a chance? And in the part of the Bible that we're going to read next is a part of the Bible where the Lord says what will happen if you take the challenge. Let's read it. It's in your notes. It says, the Lord says. Let's go to that part right there where it says, the Lord says. The Lord says, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you suffering, helpless city with no one to comfort you. I rebuild your foundations with precious stones. I will build your towers with rubies, your gates with stones and glow like fire, and the wall around with jewels. And in this part of the Bible, he's talking to the same people, the stubborn children, and he's telling them what will happen if they're willing to take the challenge. And the first thing he says is, I will rebuild your foundations. My wife likes to watch that HGTV station, you know, where they have all the home stuff all the time, constantly home stuff. And sometimes I'll hang out with her and sit down and watch it together. And they have this one show on there called Rehab Addict. And so this lady, that you wouldn't even think she'd know how to use a hammer, but somehow she does. Anyway, she's like a little movie star type. But her job is, she goes and finds these houses that are just all jacked up, and she does a rehab on them. In this one show I was watching with Clarice, my wife, and she had got this Victorian house, and she put the whole thing up on stilts and moved it, dug out the basement, and she was re-pouring the foundation. Re-pouring the foundation of the whole thing. And she has the whole thing torn apart, and she's dug into the basement, and she's re-pouring the foundation of this entire thing. And as she's doing, she's explaining what she's going to do in the house. She's going to put a new kitchen in with cabinets, and it's going to be all girly, and there's going to be a place for a sitting room and a living room. And she's going to remodel wallpaper, and this entire thing is going to be done to this house. And then she says, but before I can start any of that, I have to rebuild the foundation. Because if I put all that good stuff on top of a foundation that's cracked or broken or has something missing, the house will never work. So there she is, down in the basement, digging through it, putting this foundation in there. And this was the interesting thing. It was just rough old cement, because that's what you usually use for a foundation, except for God. He uses precious stones for our foundation. You may have a relationship you're working on. You want it to get better and better and better and better. It doesn't seem like it's happening. Maybe it's because the foundation will have to be rebuilt first. And let's face something. The last few years, it's been tough. The economy's been tough. And some of us have had our financial foundations rocked. And we're still in the place where it's cracked and there's things missing. And listen, for some of you, you didn't even do anything wrong. And now your finances are all upside down. There's all kinds of things different in your foundation. And what God brought you here today to tell you, and all the moms, is that if your foundation needs repair, what happens is God will repair it, and he'll rebuild it with precious stones. Anything that's happened in your life, he'll put a new foundation in. And then he says, I'll build your towers with rubies. Back in this day, so the first thing is the foundation thing, take the challenge. The second thing is these towers. And you'd come into these towns, and there'd be these big, huge towers where guards would be up there, now back in the day, Jesus' time. And the reason they had it is so they could have perspective, and they could see the big, big picture. And here's the thing, moms, about life, is that when, you know, you're taking care of the kids every day, and you're going to work and trying to be a good employee. And by the way, remember now, when Jesus wanted to point to God, he pointed to a mother. Not a wife, not a female employee, not a girlfriend, a mother. A mother. And when you're a mom, you can lose the big picture and all the homework and diapers and heartbreaks and stuff you can't control and just all the stuff that comes with being a mom. It's like you're not living up in a tower. You know, someone was saying this, like you're at a beautiful art museum and you're over sitting on a bench staring at the carpet. Because when you're a mom, there's so much going on. It can be so overwhelming. You can totally lose the big picture. And the promise is, if you take the challenge, what Jesus is saying is, I'll give you the perspective again. Oh, this is why I'm going back to school. That's right. Oh, I remember now what's going to be happening with all these kids. And by the way, do you notice the first three words there where it says, the Lord says? Circle that in your note, the Lord says. I want to say something to all the moms. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to say things about your kids. The neighbors are going to say things about your kids. Your relatives are going to say things about your kids. Teachers are going to say things about your kids. Other brothers and sisters are going to say things about your kids. Your friends are going to say things about your kids. Their bosses are going to say things about your kids. But what matters most is, what does the Lord say? That's what matters most. The Lord says, I can rebuild the foundation. You're going to run into teachers and different peoples in authority, and they're going to tell you things about your kids, and you don't want to believe those things, and it's going to be a struggle. You're even going to have things in your own mind sometimes, and you're going to like be telling yourself things. Here's what matters most. What does the Lord say? When both my boys were really little, I went to the church building one night just to pray. It was a Saturday night. And when I walked into the building, I just had this sense of, gosh, you know, I can't believe how my life has turned out. I'm a pastor, and I got two great kids, and I got a great wife, and I have a house that I live in. And I just was walking up to the front of the room, and I knelt down, and I just thanked God. I just said, God, just I'm amazed at how everything's happened in my life, coming from my background. And just as I did, the Lord said to me, wait till you see your sons. It was like in a moment, he gave me a glimpse. He said, you think I've done a lot of cool things in your life? Wait till you see your sons. They were little tiny guys like then. In fact, you go through rough patches with your kids. One of my sons, we went through such a rough patch with him when he was little. And, you know, the stubborn and the not listening, he was still sleeping in a crib. He was such a struggle for us. Strong-willed. My wife and I, at nighttime when we'd put him in his crib and he would go to sleep, we'd sneak into the room and we would just stand and look at him while he was sleeping. Because we wanted to see him when he was at his best, which was only when he was sleeping. It's like, they look so angelic and sweet when they're sleeping, and you think, how could they be a monster all day and look like that? So sweet. Go through patches as a mom, don't you? Starts off right away. Never get to sleep. Your husband's like reaching for you in the middle of the night. You're like, oh, I got a gun. I'll kill you. You don't even touch me. You crazy? I haven't had a shower in 3 days watching these kids. And you go through patches. There's going to be a lot of things that try to tell you about your kids. You need to know what the Lord says. I've been through lots of hard times with my sons. They've been through lots of hard times with me. I can't tell you how many times I've come back to that little night at the church when I was on my knees, and the Lord says, wait till you see your sons. When I would be frightened or scared, like, what's going to happen? And isn't it true? None of us like to go through hard times, but it doesn't compare to when you see your kids go through them. Man, when your kids go through a hard time, your guts are ripped out. And that's when you need, the Lord says. And these kids are unruly in Jerusalem. They won't listen. Nobody got any hope for them. And the Lord says, I'm going to rebuild your foundations. Everybody else just uses craggly old cement. I use precious stones. And I'm going to give you perspective. You'll be able to see everything. You won't forget the big picture. This is why I married him. This is why I had these kids. This is why we're working so we can get that house. This is why I'm back in school. I remember what God said about her, my precious little daughter who is acting like a demon, who's not. the Lord says. You got to have that as a mom. The Lord says. And then it says, your gates with stones that glow like fire, and the wall around you with jewels. Such an awesome picture. And every wall needs a gate, by the way. We put walls up in our life because we get hurt. Someone says something, we go through something, there's some rejection, and now we're hurt, and so we build a wall in our life. We've all done that, and we have a wall built in our life, and the reason we build walls is because it works. Walls keep things out. The problem is, it keeps everything out bad, and it doesn't let good in. The love can't get in, so I never feel that. The hope can't get in, so I never feel that. The faith can't get in, so I never feel and experience that, because there's a big wall there. There's no gate. When God builds a wall, he puts a gate in. So the good stuff can get in and the bad stuff can stay out. And look at the gate. I want you to notice this. Look at the gate. With stones that glow like fire. It's just not some rickety gate that anybody can walk in. There's stones that glow like fire there. You know what that means? Is there's a guardian at the gate that God builds. And the guardian makes certain that what's allowed in is something that God okays. The reason I don't put any gates in my walls is because I'm afraid something will come tramping through that's going to hurt me. But God's walls are entirely different. And I want to give you something practical for restoration. There's two things. Number one is confidence and wisdom. Just write the note down. Especially to the moms. You can go through a time in your life where you just feel like, where's my confidence? And your confidence is going to be able to glow like fire. You'll be confident to decide what comes into my life and what doesn't come into my life. Listen, it's hard to grow up as a little girl, and your body's changing, you get bigger, and choices get made, and your confidence get rocked. You're like, can I make a good choice? And some women really struggle with wisdom. They just don't, worse than that. They wonder, am I not smart enough? And God brought you here today to say he'll fill you with wisdom. And he'll give you the confidence that he wants you to have. You'll glow like fire, and the wall around you with jewels. It's okay to have walls. Just allow God to put in the gates. And so when the gate opens up, here comes the love from the children. Here comes the love from your spouse. Here comes the love from the Lord. It can get in. And when the other stuff arrives, you just shut the gate. No trespassing. You're not allowed. Now look at this next section of Scripture as we get a little closer. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. I especially wanted to say that to the moms, because there will be times when you will just wonder about your children. And what God is saying is that I can get through to your kids and I can bring them peace. There is going to be times in your life where you'll see your children, mom, and you'll just wonder, God, is anything going to happen good? Are we going to be able to do this thing? And you really need to know this, that God's making a statement. He can get through to your children, and he can give peace to your children. He can do that. You know, they're your kids, but he's their God. And you got to remember that. They're your kids. It's great to be a mom or a dad or anybody else, but he's their God. And he can always get through to them. In righteousness you shall be established. This is the last thing. And I wanted all, especially the moms, to just write that or circle it. Just write it in the notes. In righteousness you will be established. In righteousness you will be established. In righteousness you will be established. Established means stability. So what he's saying, righteousness will cause you to be stable. So listen now, hear this. You won't be stable because you're pretty. You won't be stable because you're beautiful. You won't be stable because you have a big house. You won't be stable because of your children's accomplishments. You won't be stable because you look young for a long time. You won't be stable because certain parts of your body don't start to sag. You won't be stable because of that. You'll be stable because of righteousness. Now, what's righteousness? And I want to make sure you catch this. What's righteousness? Righteous has nothing to do with morality. Righteousness doesn't mean that you're the type of mom that never raises her voice or lets a colorful word come out. Righteousness doesn't mean that you go to church every Sunday. Righteousness doesn't mean that you never get angry. Righteousness is not a moral term. Listen now, if you're going to be established in righteousness, it's very important that you know what it means. It has nothing to do with behavior. Righteousness means this: I feel right with God. God and I are on the same page. Do you know what causes your stability, moms? When you know that you and God are on the same page, when you feel right with Him, when you feel okay with God, and when you follow Jesus, that's what He offers. It's a hard world in the United States for it to be a woman. It's hard to be a guy, too. Can't wait till Father's Day. That's our big day. When it's my big day at home. Today I get to go home and take care of Clarice all day. I promise to back her up, so pray for me. I don't break my promise. But it's hard to be a woman because you have to be so many different things and you can't grow old. And it's like, I'm going to chase all those things and I'll be stable and it never works. And what God is saying is very, very simple. It's nothing to do with morality. It's nothing to do with your body. It's not what sags or doesn't sag. Gravity's going to get us at all. It just has to do with being close to God and feeling like you and Him are on the same page. If you get up every day and you feel like you're on the same page with God, you'll be stable. That's what it's saying. Righteous means right with God. And when you're right with God, you'll feel stable. Now, there was a scripture that I had in there, and it's not in your notes, but I'm going to see if they can find it. It's out of the Psalms, and so they can go back and find it, because it's kind of way back. Yeah, right there. Look at that one. I want to read this to you. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from deadly pestilence. Pestilence mean when things happen over and over again, so it's the waterfall of bad choices, but the fowler's snare. And this is the amazing thing. Moms seem like they know where the snares are in life. And you can see the snares before your kids see the snares. And that's part of being a mom, and part of the struggle is you see the snare and you try to tell your kids, don't go that way, don't do that, I've been down that road, I've been there, done that, don't go, and they just keep walking along like they can't even see it. And it's hard. And so I just wanted to give you a picture of what it might be for God when He sees us. He sees us walking along all the time, so don't do that. Starting on Monday, I have to go back to work and I have to repent to somebody. I've been trying to figure out a way to get out of it the last couple days. It's not working. I did something I knew I shouldn't have done. And then I did it. And after I did it, I tried to come up with some reason to make it okay. And I don't know if this ever happens to you, but sometimes when you're worshiping God and you come in here and you sing, I hope you try to worship God. Just try to sing Him songs. I'm worshiping God and I'm singing something today. As I'm worshiping God and singing it, my own heart is telling me, well, that's not what you did. You didn't do that today. And there was a snare there, and I didn't see it. And God was trying to get my attention, and I just walked right into it. When I was a kid, we used to go up to this lake, and we would go after ducks up there. And when we'd go up there, there was always these little birds that we didn't want anything to do with. But as you'd walk around looking for the ducks, these little birds would be running around. It didn't seem like they ever flew. And I guess you'd come too close to some of their young or a nest, and they'd always run off. They'd run off and pretend like they had a broken wing. It's like they tried to distract us. They would try to draw us away to protect their children. And they'd run off and fake like they had a broken wing and try to draw you over to them to protect us at the risk of their own life. And listen, Jesus just didn't risk His life. He gave His life to protect us. And that's the challenge. Now let's go to the very last thing in your notes. It's the bottom line. All the way to the very end. Regardless of my ups and downs, Jesus provides a safe place. And then there's a scripture I want to read at the very bottom there. Like an eagle, when she makes her young, leaves the nest to fly. She stays close to them, ready to help. This is the Bible. She spreads her wings to catch them when they fall and carries them to a safe place. like an eagle. So now talking about a different type of mother bird. And listen to this. Eagles mate forever. They're faithful until death. They build their nests high on cliffs and rocks away from predators. When the young are born, usually no one is even there. And there's only maybe three at the most. They're large and ungainly and awkward, unable to fly, helpless, and in need of constant protection. The eagles hunt for food and chew it up and put it in the mouths of their young eagles hourly until they're strong enough to fly. When they're ready to be taught to fly, the mother eagle dumps the nest over, sending the young ones out into the air. They flap wildly in panic, then almost when they start to get the hang of it, but they're too weak. They're unused to flying and they begin to fall. Then the mother eagle swoops down and comes underneath her young one as it's falling and lifts it on her own wings higher and higher and higher, giving it its needed rest. And then it pulls up abruptly again, and the young one goes falling all over again. Again and again, the mother bird will lift their young on her own wings and carry them until they've learned the strength that is dormant in their own smaller wings. It takes about 15 minutes, and then her young can fly, and it has never come anywhere near the ground. And that's the picture that God wants for all the moms today. It's how moms are, and that's how God is for us.